Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill. Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable and save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? Get all the best TV programming at your fingertips at a fraction of the price of cable TV. So say adios, arrivederci, goodbye to the high cable bill, and save up to 45% on Dish TV packages today. These are limited time offers and can change at any time. Call fast. 800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. That's 800-405-2561.
Live, worldwide, Sports Byline USA. And here's host, Ron Barr.
And glad you could join us for another hour of this special edition of Sports Byline as we're talking about the state of sports. Among things this hour we'll talk about is how would you describe today's athlete? How has the media, social media, what have you done for me lately mantra changed and affected today's athlete? An athlete's health, like concussions, adolescent sports health and kids sports, high school and amateur sports. Also, athletes and coaches' social activism, the fan, the league, and business perception of all of that activism. And what about cheating? We hear an awful lot of it. Athletes are being suspended for using performance-enhancing drugs, and even institutionalized, like Russia being banned from the Olympics for cheating. And we'll also talk about the media and technology, sports or entertainment coverage, and how do you like it? And finally, we'll talk about what concerns our guests have about sports and competition in our society today and going forward. Joining us to talk about all of this is Roy Eisenhardt. He's been a lawyer, former president of the Oakland A's when his family, the Haas family, owned the A's, and now teaches law and sports at UC Berkeley. Adonel Foyle, he grew up on a small island in the Caribbean, population 1,000, and did not play organized basketball until he was 16. He was brought to the U.S. by a pair of Colgate College professors, and he went on to become a Colgate Academic All-American. He was drafted in the first round of the NBA draft by the Warriors, where he played 10 of his 13 seasons in the NBA. His experiences as a highly paid athlete and observing the financial pitfalls of other athletes motivated him to write the book, Winning the Money Game, Lessons Learned from the Financial Fouls of Pro Athletes. And Ben Braun is with us. He spent nearly 40 years as a college basketball head coach at schools like Cal, Rice, and Eastern Michigan. He was the Pac-10 Coach of the Year, and three times he was named Mid-American Coach of the Year. And he also does television analyst work for the Pac-12, WCC, and American Conference basketball games. I've always felt that through discussion and information, knowledge can be obtained even in sports. And sports has been described as the toy department of life. Many times it's the thing we turn to when we want to be distracted from everyday life. I found it to be just like life, where we're always competing one way or another. There's winning and losing, and there's always new ways to do both. We're going to talk about it all with our in-studio guests as we take a look at the state of sports, not only the games themselves, but of course the athletes, the teams, and the people that are involved with generating the billions of dollars that are now involved with sports. We continue with more of you and Sports Byline.
Guess what? Right now is the perfect time to tackle those home projects you've been putting off. So come springtime, you can just sit back and relax. Home Advisor can help get you started. Home Advisor matches you to the right pro for the job in seconds. You can read reviews and even book appointments online. Home Advisor can help with any home project, big or small. Painting, plumbing, even remodeling. Find a great pro now before the busy season hits. Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app. Home
Advisor. I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago, and since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. I actually don't even think about food. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that that went away, and I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad, says it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. The second month is where I saw a drastic change in the size of my stomach. I've lost 6 inches. this product really does work.
So guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400, the safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to Andro400.com or call 888-400-0435, 888-400-0435.
If you or a loved one is suffering from a physical or emotional condition that has left you unable to work, then listen carefully. Take this number down. 1-888-983-3890. That's 1-888-983-3890. When you call, you'll speak with a Social Security disability expert and get a free evaluation to see if you may qualify for disability insurance benefits from the U.S. government. That's right, a monthly cash payment paid directly to you from the Social Security Administration. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied disability benefits, call now. The disability attorneys at Pinnacle Disability can help you build your case, file an appeal, and represent you at no upfront cost to you. Don't wait another minute to see if you may qualify for your Social Security disability benefits. Call Pinnacle Disability Group at 1-888-983-3890 for your free case evaluation. That's 1-888-983-3890. 1-888-983-3890. Call now.
When you're hiring, you don't want to waste time sorting through dozens of irrelevant resumes. You want an efficient way to get to a short list of qualified candidates. That's why you need Indeed.com. Post a job in minutes. Set up screener questions based on your job requirements. Then zero in on qualified candidates using an intuitive online dashboard. Discover why 3 million businesses use Indeed for hiring. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Search for greatness. Search Indeed.
This is America's Sports Talk Show. Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
And glad you could join us for another hour of Sports Byline USA. This is a special edition of Sports Byline as we're spending an extended period of time talking about the state of sports, both amateur, collegiate, and professional. And we're going to talk about today's athlete, first of all. And I want to ask you, gentlemen, how would you describe today's pro athlete? I mean, how has the media, social media, what have you done for me lately mantra changed and affected today's athlete? And we'll start with you, Adonald, because you were a pro athlete.
I think the great thing about it's a double-edged sword. So the one thing is that the modern-day athlete has a lot more power than I think any time in their history. That is to be sure. And I think part of that power comes from this idea that they become their own kind of spokesperson through social media. As they, you know, Steph Curry has a microphone of millions and millions of people that wants to hear directly from him. Even the 14 guy on the bench has access, you know, to 50 to 100,000 people. So that has created a bit more power. And I think it's not insignificant that the union in professional sports, especially in professional basketball, has become more and more powerful. And I think that has given the players a distinct voice. So, but at the flip side of that, because of the advent of social media, there is more scrutiny on the athlete. Things that might have gone unnoticed is now front and center, you know, for them to deal with. So I think as an athlete, you have to have now a rapid response team to handle tweets, and not as bad as the president, but you still need one of those. And I think that that's the pros and cons of the modern day athlete.
Ben, how about you?
Well, I have some issues. You know, coaching the athletes today, especially pro, that's a different mindset. And, you know, the pro mindset, for a lot of reasons, I mentioned them earlier, is, you know, you're going to get yours while you can. And Earl Boykins, who played for me, and you know Earl because I think you played with him,
yes.
Earl said to me, you know, coach, he said, it's different in the pros. He said, two or three teams back then can win the championship. Now, the other teams probably can't, and the players know that. So what are they playing for? Their next contract. So what does that mean? It's kind of a me versus we. And so while that exists, you got to be careful. Now you get into the social media, and I see how some people handle that. And it's remarkable if you can get the we, that's a powerful message. You are so influential in this world as an athlete, especially professionally. If you can handle the social part of it, you have a message that can get out to so many people. But if your message and your mission is to try to tell everybody why you should be the MVP, or why you were left off the top 15 or top time all great teams, you're missing the boat. You're losing the people you're trying to affect as well. And that's the next generation, and that's why I respect the athletes today who or doing more. They're fighting for more than just the basketball. They're talking about, you know, what it means to take a social stand and stand up for what's right. And so you see that in today's world, especially on the professional side. And I think Donald addressed that.
Roy, you have a very interesting perspective because as president of the Oakland A's, you had a chance not only to watch the individual athlete, but you had a chance to watch him collectively on the Oakland Ball Club, and you also certainly had a chance to watch him across baseball all. So I wonder what your perspective is on this.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'll tell one anecdote that taught me a big lesson. I was negotiating a contract with a third baseman once, and he said, I don't care what you pay me, but I'm not going to throw the ball to the first baseman if he's earning more than I do. So I took that into account and traded him quickly. But what I see developing, I think this is it's very good, but it has to be handled carefully by the leagues, is athletes being much more willing to speak out on social issues. And part of the reason is just simply, as Ben and Donald point out, the availability of technology. You can reach people immediately on Twitter, and that's not always a good idea to do that immediately. But so you get pushback to that, like one television commentator who didn't like the fact that LeBron James was saying things that made sense. So the comment was, just shut up and dribble, right? Yeah. And so with the more outspoken nature of our athletes today, and I'd rather hear from them, frankly, than I'd rather hear from politicians. I think the athletes have much more insight. But with that comes a pushback against the sport. So you get the owners in the middle, particularly who are looking at the bottom line, and they're saying, okay, is this anthem protest that Colin Kaepernick put into play, is that going to cost us money as the NFL, or is that going to play out as a good thing? And I think my instinct is a lot of NFL owners feel that probably got more downside to it than upside. So you get the leagues struggling right now to how to get their arms around the fact that players are just have opinions and they're speaking their opinions, and fans are going to have to get used to it.
Yeah, there's a new word in that has come into sports, and that is brand. My brand. We never heard that about athletes before, and I think that they're thinking in a corporate sense today because they have to. They know their game is going to end for them at some particular point. What do you notice? You were the vice president of the National Basketball Players Association. What do you see as the change?
I think it was a very specific. I mean, my recent book, The Athlete CEO, really teaches the athlete to recognize that their individual brand within an organizational brand is that if you don't feel pride, and if you don't feel pride in protecting your brand and protecting what you stand for as an athlete, and I think brand, you know, for me means really being mindful, a 360 approach to who you are, that you're an individual entity within a larger entity, but that your brand and how you represent your community and represent the face of the world has both great positive for you as an athlete. So I think it was very specific that the most of the leagues started to have what they consider a business of basketball or the business operation. They wanted the athlete to understand that they're in a partnership. Well, if you're going to really teach athletes about that, is that eventually they're going to be very more mindful of their brand, and hopefully they will do what is necessary in the best interest of the league. So I think that has been a deliberate approach. And to the point of activism, I think you see it. You see that athletes has this tremendous ability to really mobilize people around a particular cause. And it could be very transformative in the community in which they serve.
You know, that's a great point, Donald. I think that that athletes are part of something larger, so it's great to have a brand, but if the brand that you're playing for within the NBA, if the NBA is going down, attendance is going down, people are fed up with the NBA, then what does your brand mean? It's like being the lead salesman at Procter & Gamble. I went and spoke to Procter & Gamble once, and they said, how do you teach teamwork at Procter & Gamble when everybody's trying to be the top salesman? I said, well, put it this way. If you could be the top salesman, if your company fails, you're the top salesman of what? What have you done? Your company's no longer doing what it should be doing, so you've got to put it in perspective to be good at what you do, but at the same time, you've got to promote your larger entity, and that's the NBA, and that's why the NBA cares, all these things. That I know you've been so active all the years. It's important that you keep that perspective.
What's the misunderstanding that fans have over athletes' activism? because you know as well as I do with Colin Kaepernick what that response was. It was very, very negative.
Well, I'll say it, you know, and not that Donald won't, but, you know, that's it's a racial response. And if you look around in the country, it is what it is. That response never happens if it's not standing for that. And I understand there, you know, the flag is one thing. That's a whole other thing. But that wouldn't have been taken as far as it was, I think, under different circumstances. And I think you got to look at the intent. Always, in my book, what is your intent? And I think people knew the intent of what that meant.
I also think the temperature of the time factored into it as well.
Exactly. And you know, I don't care what it is. You better look at somebody's, you know, the content of what's there in their heart, what their intention, what they've been over the years. And, you know, bringing awareness to something is a good thing. That's never a bad thing.
My worry is that when you look at historically at this, you look at, you know, Muhammad Ali, you look at Tommy Smith, you look at all the people who have come before, that this is not new, right? Is that we have a tendency to appreciate our hero or activism of our sports hero when they are gone or when they're much older. And I think that's very frightening because, you know, we seem to like it after the fact, never in the moment in which it is happening.
Well, that's true of a lot of change. Right. You know, we hate change until we realize how great it's turned out later on. So this activism is change, and people have to recognize also that there's been a change in the nature of ownership. It used to be people owned teams because their family owned teams and it was their family business. Right. Now it's a guy who's made money in the stock market or in the software business or something who wants the glory of owning a team and sitting on the court side. So they get a lot of ego out of their team, and they don't want the waters to get choppy. They want everything nice and smooth and easy.
In about 30 seconds, are people afraid of just change, not knowing what the change is going to be, good or bad, and they're just fearful of change in itself?
Yes, I think there could be no doubt about that. Change is difficult because I think part of activism is to really put it in your face and say, you have to face this truth, and what are you going to do about it as a moral person? And that is very difficult.
We're talking about sports as it stands today. We have talked about the athlete, the pro athlete, how they're perceived, about media and interaction with the athlete today, their own brand, and then, of course, social activism that we see an awful lot today, or at least a growing interest in that. When we come back on the other side, we're going to talk about athletes' health, about concussions and other challenges that they have. We continue with more of you at America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline.
It has been said that everyone has a book in them, but do you have the time or the ability to write your book? Maybe you picked up some skills or had a life experience that you want to pass on in the form of a book to help others. Maybe you want to leave an autobiography for your family. Or maybe you've built a successful business and you want to share your story. At Dorrance Publishing Company, we have professional writers who can help turn your book idea into a finished manuscript quickly and affordably. A Dorrance ghostwriter can provide as much or as little help as you need to complete your book. You'll work directly with your ghostwriter to finish your book faster than you ever could on your own. It's easy to become a published author. Call Dorrance now to learn more. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. Call right now. That number is 800-485-6003.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for prescription drugs? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get prescription drugs at huge discounts from Canada Drug Center. That's right, the most popular drugs for cholesterol, high blood pressure, depression, diabetes, arthritis, and many more are now up to 75% off. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices when you can get brand name drugs at the lowest price? Call today and get up to 75% off all the popular brand name prescription drugs. Never pay high prices again. Get the most popular drugs at huge savings from our Canadian and international pharmacies and fulfillment centers. No insurance? No problem. Prices are so low you do not need benefits or insurance to get all your prescriptions fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting to take your call now. Order today and get free shipping. Just call 800-950-1180. Up to 75% off all the popular brand name prescription drugs and free shipping. Call 800-950-1180. That's 800-950-1180.
If you are age 85 or younger, Call to learn more about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. Are you at risk of leaving loved ones to help pay your debts? A final expense policy for seniors can pay up to $30,000 for funeral and other final expenses. You don't need a medical exam, and you can have lifetime coverage, and the policy cannot be canceled. To receive free information about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network, call now. You'll also receive information about a free prescription discount card just for calling in. Agents are standing by.
Call 800-508-5774. 800-508-5774. 800-508-5774. Call now. That's 800-508-5774.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Roy Eisenhardt, Donald Foyle, and Ben Braun are with us on this special edition of Sports Byline, talking about sports today in our society, the people that play sports, the people that own sports as well. And I want to ask you all about health issues. We know a lot about concussions, that issue in the National Football League. There is a trickle effect. You get concussions whether you're in the NFL or if you're in college football, even down to Pop Warner. We have not heard much about the legal aspect of it at the college level or the high school level, and I think we all know that at some point that shoe is going to drop. Tell me how you perceive, and O'Donnell, you've already had surgeries on your knees and everything else. Tell me a little bit from an athlete's perspective how you view their health as they're playing sports.
Well, I tried to get up this morning, and the knees wasn't doing too well. I mean, as someone who's had over 19 surgeries, you know, and my knees, it's difficult. I mean, I think we go in very consciously, especially just for general injuries. We go in very aware that part of the cost of playing professional sports is a cost to your body, right? And so I've been very much aware of that. And I think that's what makes the football concussion issue so different, because that was kind of, there wasn't any knowledge for people to make that distinct choice. I knew I was going to walk around limping, you know, for most of my career, because I play a sport that required me to jump very much. And I play very long, played 13 years in the league, which is going to have a very negative effect on your body. But I think what's depressing for me is that it's not so much that some of those choices are taken away from the athletes, is that when you walk away from the sport, the thing that you will walk away and have nothing financially. I mean, what to me the biggest crisis for athlete is that in a time when you walk away from the sports, you need more medical treatment than most people because of what you've done to your body. And to not have the financial resources to do that, it could be so troubling and so devastating to an athlete. And it's not coincidentally that we've seen more and more athletes are dying very young, which is a very troubling trend, you know, for me.
Well, that's a great, great point. And I never forgot. And I always made it a part of our coaching philosophy, but every year somebody from the professional ranks would come in and speak to our team. And I never forget having the opportunity back when I coached in Michigan to have Dave Bing, the great player, come in and talk to our players. He was lived right down the road. He came in at Eastern Michigan, and he said, guys, he said, you know, I was a pretty good player until my retina got detached. Now I'm playing basketball in one eye. And I did okay. I said, but I wasn't going to do okay forever. So what did he do? He said, I'm cautioning all of you and all the pros he played with, when you go to these different NBA cities, don't hang out, don't party, don't waste your time. Get to know people in each city. Get to know doctors, lawyers, business people. And he ended up, as you know, starting Bing Steel, ended up being the mayor of Detroit. And I think his message was unbelievable for kids. And my kids heard that, and I hope it had an impression on them, but I think it's true. Your body gives you so many years. It's going to go out on you. Now what have you done? It's almost too late if you wait. What are you doing along the way? Take advantage of the relationships. Take advantage of some things and see if you can build on that.
One thing I don't understand, and Roy, you and I have talked about this before, is the NFL came to an agreement with the former players to be able to help them with the issues that they have on the health side, but yet they're stonewalling giving them the money that is supposed to be there for them. And if you think about the college ranks, if you get hurt, a lot of people don't know that scholarships are a one-year deal, And only recently have they, you know, started to do the right thing for them. What about this morality aspect, the corporate aspect of dealing with something like an athlete's health?
Well, let's go to the concussion settlement specifically. There's a lot of stuff going on there right now because there's this pool of money that's available to anybody who can show the designated symptoms of basically movement disorders like Parkinson's, Lou Gehrig's disease, or if they die, the CTE, so-called CTE. What the NFL thinks is that a lot of doctors are giving overly exaggerated diagnoses in order to make a player eligible for the collection. What the players think is that the NFL is slow-walking the claims, and meanwhile, you have a third party who got in a picture of people who came along and said to a player, well, you know, you're not going to get your recovery for a couple of years or 3 years. I'll give you $100,000 now. You assign me your claim, and then you'll have the money now. And of course, they're really bilking the players in most of the cases. So that whole concussion settlement has gotten highly complex, and I think we're going to see in the next year or so the judge taking it back and looking at both sides of the question. But a point I want to add is we tend to talk about concussions as only football, and that is not the case. It's really an underrealized fact that concussions are significant in sports like soccer and wrestling.
Volleyball.
And cheerleading. Any sport where there's a potential for head trauma. And football is the leader in terms of the amount of attention. But it, particularly youth sports and the NCAA also have to pay attention to what can happen in these other sports. For example, heading in soccer. You don't practice in football hitting your head. It happens occasionally, but you don't practice it. In soccer, you practice it. So they're actually putting rules in place now for young women because their necks don't develop as fast, where they are not allowed to head in the games until they're of a certain age, their early teens, basically. So we have to think of the concussion issue as not just a football problem, but as a many-sport problem.
One of the concerns that I have when it comes to athletes' health is the young athlete. In other words, the kid that plays peewee football or maybe plays little league baseball or even into high school, trying to do something with their bodies that their bodies really aren't ready to deal with in any particular way. Ben, you deal with amateur athletes. What is your feeling in this particular area about athletes' health there?
Well, I always felt that too much too early is not a good thing. You're sending a bad message, and it could be an unhealthy message. You know, to teach kids about curveballs and put kids through weight training at a young age, their bodies are still growing. That's the last thing they need to do, and I just think it's that mentality of getting so much so early and trying to be the best at an early age. You might accomplish some things, but athletes will burn out, young players will burn out, and their health's at risk. So I really think just going back and working on fundamentals, the joy of the game. Can you develop passion at a young age? Can you work on the fundamentals? Can you work on the level of improvement? And being a team guy, you know, what does it mean to be maybe not the best player on your team, but can you add value to your team by making contributions and making other people better? And if you know, more people had that mentality growing up, I think you'd see a little different mentality as they got older.
You know, when you think about where sports is going, esports are coming into play now. Lacrosse is going to be becoming a pretty big sport as well. What are we going to have to deal with health-wise, do you think, O'Donnell, as we move forward and expand out beyond the sports, the mainstream sports?
So I think the bottom line is my biggest worry in sports today is the issue of mental health. And, there is a lot of undiagnosed issues that are gone unnoticed. I think part because of the hypermasculinity that surrounds sports. We don't like to see our gladiators being somewhat fragile, and there are so many things that athletes are dealing with on a day-to-day basis within the context of the sports, which it's so difficult to begin with because of the demands of the sports. But you're also dealing with a world outside that we are less concerned with as professional sports organization and just college in general. I mean, just anybody around sports, you're much more reluctant to deal with the things that you can't see. And I think mental health is one of those things. We don't really see it until it's a problem. And therefore, I think it goes unnoticed for years and years. And to me, that's one of the big areas that we're going to have more and more issues in our sports.
One of the things that bothers me, Roy, a little bit is the fact that I've gone out to Little League games and I've seen incidents happen in the Little League games where parents are yelling at the coaches, put my son in, or yelling at the kid after the game is over with because they've made the mistake as well. And I think that adds to what Donald was just saying. Is there anything we can do about that?
Well, before I try to do something, let me just reinforce your point that I think one of the biggest pathologies in youth sports is parents. Because the kids, they just want to have a good time, right? They want to play sports, have fun. But parents become a pressure factor on them for a lot of reasons. Some of them is, as I said before, they're sublimating their own failure to be a great athlete. But more than that, let's say they have a young daughter who's a good volleyball player. Well, what they see at the end of the line is a college scholarship for her. So if they can send her 24/7 to volleyball camps and play all year, 12 months a year, and then she'll get a scholarship and get into a good college. But that really is counterproductive for that young woman. She should be playing multiple sports, not just playing one sport. She'll actually be a better volleyball player for it. But the parents become the roadblock to that. And I want to emphasize Donald's point about mental health. First of all, that parent pressure puts a lot of stress on kids. But there's also the whole category of kids with learning differences and learning disabilities. And we need to recognize that as we put them into competitive environments where they have to have 75% of their credits during the school year and all those kinds of rules, that we put pressure on kids who have maybe problems with learning, and we need to build in systems that help these kids accommodate those learning differences.
When we come back on the other side, we're going to talk about the media and technology in sports, and we'll talk about other aspects of what's happening today in sports as we continue on Sports Byline.
I'm Ryan Burke. I'm the head cider maker at Angry Orchard, and we're in Brittany, France. I wanted to make Angry Orchard Rosé cider out of my love for rosé wine. We came here and found these red-fleshed apples. It's a really rare fruit. The apple brings a right, refreshing, natural taste to the cider and a deep, nice pink rosé hue. Our rosé is a little bit less sweet. It's got a really nice balance for any occasion. It's a really refreshing drink.
Angry Orchard Cider Company, Walden, New York. Drink responsibly.
Guys, are you tired of being tired? Frustrated because it seems impossible to lose belly fat? If you're looking for a solution, then listen to Mark.
I had fantastic results with the Andro 400 Max. Probably lost 35 pounds. And more impressive than that was the inches I lost off of my belly and my waist. And the increased energy is fantastic. I'll be totally honest. I tried a different product and I wasn't happy with the different product. You guys are considerably cheaper than the other brand, and I can really feel the difference.
Andro 400 Max, the extra strength, all natural testosterone booster. The safe, easy, and affordable way to gain energy and lose stubborn belly fat. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Feel and look like a new man. Go to andro400.com or call 888-400-0435. 888-400-0435.
Hey guys and gals, Scott Turnage here, the old G3 Sportsman. You know, we're awfully proud to have G3 Boats, the official boat sponsor for the Outdoor Guys Radio Show. From time to time, Ken will be talking with our G3 Sportsman field staff with the best fishing tips and where they're biting across the country. And just a heads up, G3 is still offering a $1,000 military appreciation discount off all our package boats in addition to any other rebate. Hey, join the G3 Live at g3boats.com.
Guess what? Right now is the perfect time to tackle those home projects you've been putting off. So come summertime, you can just sit back and relax. Home Advisor can help get you started. Home Advisor matches you to the right pro for the job in seconds. You can read reviews and even book appointments online. Home Advisor can help with any home project, big or small, painting, plumbing, even remodeling. Find a great pro now before the busy season hits. Go to homeadvisor.com or download the free app.
Home Advisor.
Every business has unique stats that lead them on a path to growth. Let Muse Platforms find yours with a free assessment to see how we can help you increase sales. Text STATS to 797979 for your free assessment today. MusePlatforms.com will build your digital marketing platform through insight, innovation, and impact. We provide a one-stop shop for Adobe Creative and Marketing Cloud solutions for businesses of all sizes. So text STATS to 797979 today. Let your stats lead you down a path to growth.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
And welcome back. We're talking about sports and society, sports overall, with Roy Eisenhart, a lawyer, former president of the Oakland A's, and also teaches law and sports at UC Berkeley. And Donald Foyle, 13 years in the NBA, 10 of those with the Golden State Warriors, vice president of the NBA Players Association, and Ben Braun, who spent nearly 40 years as a college basketball head coach at schools like Cal, Rice, and Eastern Michigan. I think in any mix of sports discussion, you have to talk about the media, because being a member of the media, I've watched it change over the years, over the decades even. And I'm just wondering if all of you, from your perspectives, can maybe pinpoint where things changed in the media as far as their coverage, as far as them taking positions, as far as them looking at sports, probably more as entertainment instead of just competition. And I'm going to start with you, Ben.
Well, thank you, Ron. And, you know, I can speak now. Donald, you and I for sure are on that side as coaches and players and doing games now. You know, I think there's a tendency sometimes, it's whether it's journalism, whether it's media, television, radio, for the shock. The greater the shock, the greater the story, you know, the greater the event, the greater hit. And I think that the responsible media personalities and people today still, you know, don't make that about themselves. They don't make it about the sensational. They go to the meat of the matter, and they still look for stories that are significant, are good life lessons. And so I really, I admire the media people that are still able to do that. I always admired those people. I had more time for them when I was coaching. I still do today, and as I try to be a media personality now, doing and covering games and being in the studio, I try to get the story within the story, and I hope they're human. You know, they're stories that can touch you on a human level. They're not just about the sensational and dirt and sensationalism. I just think there's too much of that today.
When I started in the NBA, for example, you know, a reporter will ask you, you know, how are you doing, where you came from, talk about the game and how the game played out. I mean, now they want to know more, because now it's about, you know, the social media aspect behind the scene. Everybody is a reporter. Everybody has a camera. There's a TMZ. There is now this intense focus, not only on what you do on the court, but what happens, you know, off the field. And to me, it's always been, because so much of your life, I think, for an athlete is so public, that I always wanted that privacy where I can have a conversation and not worry about it being recorded and seeing it and Sports Center the next day. So I think that there has been this move away from just the pure sport of it and really been a focus and the entertainment and really making it about this 360 and wanting to know everything about somebody. Personally, I don't think there's that much interesting stuff in my life that anybody should want to know beyond what I do and the basketball court.
Let me ask you, Roy, because you were the babe in the woods on this, because your family bought the Oakland A's. You had no previous experience as far as dealing with the media to a great degree. Maybe you interacted with them to some degree. And then all of a sudden you're getting asked this question, that question, and everything else. Well, what's your view on this?
Well, first of all, the way I dealt with that was just be honest, right? I mean, if somebody asks you a question you don't know, you say, I don't know. If they ask a question that's the wrong question, you say, well, you really should be asking me this, and help them out. And if they ask you a question that has five questions in it, you need to figure out how to parse it. And you just basically learn your way through that. But what I observed to be the big change was the role that the media played in sports initially and the role that it plays today now. But I'm not talking centuries ago. I'm talking, let's say, 20 years ago. Basically, the media's role was to bring the game to the fans, whether it was by broadcasting it or reporting about it in the newspaper or maybe commenting about it on SportsCenter. But basically, it was an information nexus to the fan between what happened in the game and what the fan would like to know. Now, it's an industry unto itself. It's personalities who use sports as a way to brand themselves, and they basically need to be more outlandish than the next guy in order to get more ratings and to keep the people calling into their program with their questions. So it really has grown, I think, outside of sports. The sports media has grown outside of the sports industry and become an industry of its own. And it has some beneficial effect, but I think it has a lot of negative effect.
The addition of social media, does that make the thing looking forward scary?
Well, that's, going to be a big question for the leagues as to how they decide they're going to regulate player social media activity. There are already a lot of rules that are in place, that Donald and Ben certainly know better than me, about what the time frames are the players can use social media or not. But the it's the off the court, the day off guy who decides to go on Twitter and sound off. And that's where the leagues are going to have to come to a kind of a structure that they can advise the players about what's advisable for their own sake and what's not. And that's going to have to be collectively bargained with the Players Association, because Players Association has a strong interest in how that's done too. So I think that's a work in process, and all four of the leagues, that including the NHL, are going to have to learn how to manage that.
I know I was traveling down to Notre Dame to do a football game, a Stanford game down there, and I landed in Chicago and was driving down to South Bend, and I will never forget listening to a sports talk show in Chicago, and I heard the anchorman say something, and there were two guys there, say something that I knew was patently untrue. I mean, I knew it was untrue, and I couldn't believe that they said that, but I knew why they said it. They wanted to generate controversy and calls. And I can't accept it. Maybe it's a generational thing with me, but I don't understand that. Can any of you guys help me understand that?
Controversy sells.
No, it doesn't.
I mean, watch the news every night. You don't see stories about all these nice people. You don't see stories about a Donald's Kerosene Foundation and the fact they just sent a young man or woman to Princeton. What you see is negative stories, because that seems to be what dominates our attention, or at least gets our attention better. And that has crept into sports. And as O'Donnell says, now a lot of the questions tend to be about off-field conduct of the players and what the criminal charges are going to be and stories like that, rather than how many three-pointers they hit during the game.
I'll give you an example. You can see today, you look at a coach or a player's quote, and you say, okay, and then you look at how it was used in the context. The headlines will imply that it meant something else, and that's to sell the story. That's to sell the sensationalism of that story, and I always felt that's the journalist's responsibility, and they always say, well, I don't create the headlines. My editor does. But yes, you did. You gave them that line to create something that will sell. And so the responsibility, I think, to have responsible journalistic viewpoints, I think it's important. So, but it's changed, Roy. You make a good point, and it changed some time ago. But it's there is something else that's driving this now.
O'Donnell?
Yeah, I mean, I think for players is that you have to understand now. I think part of it is we do it to ourselves to a certain degree, and we have to understand the power of social media. And I think that's something the leagues are taking seriously, because, part of it is trust upon us, and part of us, the reality of the technology is now here to stay. And what is important, I think, for players is learning how to use it. We talked earlier about how you can use it for activism and for good things. And the second part is to understand that now that everyone is a reporter, and that's something that I try to talk to young people about all the time, is that assume that everybody now is a reporter, that whatever you say, you have to be open minded that you might hear it and social media tomorrow, and you have to be okay with that. Otherwise, you don't say it. So you have to be very cognizant of your surroundings and very cognizant of what you espouse in public.
I know the three of you wanted to touch on something, and I want to give you a couple minutes to do it. And that is the future for athletes. They don't realize, I think they think they can play the game forever and make the big money. But we know too many times within 3 years, a lot of them go broke And I'm just wondering, is it an educational process? Is it finding better people that you can trust? I'll start with you, Adonal, because you wrote the book about athletes and what happens to them.
Yeah, you know, Winning the Money Game really talked about athletes in general after retirement, some of the challenges that they face. And what was interesting, I think, about that is that for me, is that I talked to one player and he said, you know, I had a parents who never had a checking account or a saving account. So when I got my first contract, I put it under the mattress. That's the only place I knew where to put it. And I think it's about, you know, wealth and learning how to manage wealth is a process. And I think you have to have either some background with it or you have to learn, learn how to do that currently. So for me is that when you're an athlete, you may never pay taxes. And immediately upon getting into the league, you have to pay taxes in every state that you play because of our jack tax. So I think there's a lot for players that are coming in, to the league to learn. And finally, I just say this, is that if you're an athlete, you're thinking that you're going to play for the rest of your life. And then you find out that your career is over in 2.5 or 4.7 years. And now you have the rest of your life to live. So there's a lot of adjustment that goes into the athlete in terms of retirement.
Four things that I used to say to players, and I think these are pretty good questions only because it's self-reflective. And if you can answer these and be honest with yourself, I think you're onto something. One, who do you trust? And, you know, all of us sitting in this room, you know, who do we really trust? That's important. And that'll tell you a lot about yourself and those around you. And what company do you keep? Do the people around you, do they help you, complete you? Does your wife, does your family, you know, are they honest with you? And what's really important in your life? If you can, you can, that's number three. And number four, you know, think about this, especially as an athlete, especially as somebody that's been accomplished. What do you really want your legacy to be? And if you can answer that honestly and thoughtfully, I think you can really get to what's important and move forward. But those are important things, I think.
Yeah, and I have to say, you know, when I was involved with baseball and I would sign a big contract with the player, I would love to give that player some investment advice about don't because you're going to get paid $5 million over the next 5 years, don't set your lifestyle at that level. Set it, you know, 20, divide that into 20 years and live it. But I was the last guy they would listen to, yeah. Right? Well, in fact, they wouldn't listen to me at all. They thought I was trying to chip them out of something. So I would go to the Players Association. I'd say, you know, you guys can set up owners as the bad guys. I understand that narrative and so forth. But I said, you have to do something about counseling these players how to deal with this big money, because this was when free agency came in and big money started developing. And the Player Association said, we don't want anything to do with that. You know, and so I talked to the agents and they said, well, I manage a guy's money. And as we know, some agents manage money very well, some manage it very poorly. And so the net effect is the players get very under-resourced with regard to investment advice. And if I could wave a magic wand, it would be that there was some role in the Players Association for actually mandatory financial counseling for players, because the number of football players, for example, who go bankrupt by the time of 40 is a huge number.
And I think, you know, ultimately the responsibility is on the players. One of the biggest thing that I find in a lot of the research I did is that they were not involved. I mean, the first thing is that they're afraid that because they don't have the knowledge that you will find them out to be a fraud of sorts, and they don't want to get involved. And what I discover is that the more involved they are, whether or not they don't know all the answers, it's just that involvement is so crucial in them really keeping bad actors out and really having a future they could be proud of.
Well, I love the ideas that both of you have, and I've enjoyed, by the way, these segments. It's amazing what voices are. You know, I learn that with my kids every day. All of a sudden, the things I think I'm giving good advice, all of a sudden they'll come back home from school and say, Daddy, you know, so-and-so told me this. And I said, didn't I just tell you that? Oh, no, but, you know, it sounds better when somebody else tells you. So we've all been through that. But if all three of us can get to somebody and give us, you know, give us that same message with three different voices, suddenly that's a pretty good idea. And that's how life is.
I hope everyone has enjoyed this conversation. I've found it very enlightening. And these three gentlemen, of course, come from different perspectives, but they all have the same, I think, message, and that is sports is to be enjoyed. Hopefully we can get the politics out of it. I don't think we'll ever get the money out of it, because that's really what life is about. I mean, if you think about it, life is competing every day. There's winning, there is losing, and hopefully you're able to be happy. But that happiness is determined by yourself, not necessarily by things that are outside of that. I know I have been blessed sitting in this seat for a long time, and the athletes and the owners and the people that I've met in sports, they have enriched my life, and I have come to appreciate it. My first guest when I launched Sports Byline USA back in 1988 was the great Willie Mays, and I will never, ever forget that and the passion that he talked about baseball and the challenge that he talked about being an African-American trying to play the game in Alabama. Thank you for joining us on Sports Byline. I'm Ron Barr.
Rebuild or replace transmission, $3,200. Anti-lock brake system, $1,000. Rebuild or replace engine, $2,400. Truth is, once your manufacturer's warranty runs out, it's all on you. Every last cent. Get protection for covered repairs with a vehicle service contract from Toco Warranty. Unlike other companies, with Toco, there's no down payment, and the monthly payments are really affordable. Not sure how long you're keeping your car? At Toco, you can pay as you go. Keep your hard-earned cash and call Toco Warranty right now at 800-222-2313 to save big money on covered auto repairs. Prices vary by vehicle, but for about the cost of a tank of gas per month, a Toco plan has your back on expensive covered car repairs. Monthly payments are very affordable. Get your free quote now. Call Toco at 800-222-2313. That's 800-222-2313. 800-222-2313. Cancellation fee may apply. Subject to eligibility. Not available in Missouri and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warren Tech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit TocoWarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
At the Debt Helpline, we're experts at helping you resolve your debt problems and become free of debt. We can help you pay off your debt and give you one lower monthly payment that you can afford.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
If you have $5,000, $10,000 or more in credit card bills, call the Debt Helpline now for a free confidential debt analysis.
800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. Call the CESI Debt Helpline right now for a free, confidential debt review. 800-957-6063. 800-957-6063.
Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Clapper, Chief of Orthopedic Surgery at Cedars-Sinai Medical Group in Los Angeles, California. Dedicated to your health, your life, and your sports. As a weekend warrior, you know about sports injuries and pain. Exercise is an important element in keeping your body's core in good shape to minimize sports injuries. But when you are in pain, there is one product that I recommend to my patients, and that is Blue Goo Gel. Blue Goo consists of a proprietary formula developed specifically for the treatment of inflammation and general muscle aches and strains. I recommend Blue Goo for my patients coping with hip and knee pain before surgery, especially bursitis and tendonitis. Give Blue Goo a try. Call 1-888-330-0123 and you'll receive a 1 week supply of Blue Goo absolutely free. The makers of Blue Goo are even paying the shipping. The number again is 1-888-330-0123. If you want more information on Blue Goo, visit online at www.dothegoo.com.
Now available at select Big Five stores near you.
This is America's Sports Talk Show. Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
That's going to wrap up this special edition of Sports Byline as we took a look at the state of sports and those who play it, both amateur and professional. I hope you found the information useful and insightful, and I hope it'll help you if you're making decisions for your kids also to think about the right way that they should be playing sports. Our guests have been Roy Eisenhart, a lawyer, former president of the Oakland A's, and now teaches law and sports at UC Berkeley, a Donald Foyle, 13-year veteran in the NBA. He was the vice president of the NBA Players Association, first-round draft choice coming out of Colgate, and Ben Braun, nearly 40 years as a college basketball head coach at Cal, Rice, and Eastern Michigan. He was the Pac-10 Coach of the Year and three times named Mid-American Coach of the Year. I'm Ron Barr. Thanks for being a part of America's Sports Talk Show.
We love watching sports, but these days it's nearly impossible to catch all the best moments of your favorite games. Now with the new SportFlip app, you can receive real-time, customized notifications so you know when your games are back after a commercial break, period change, or rain delay. Download SportFlip from the App Store today and watch more sports.